pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
April Marie here for you this Wednesday. Goodness, the week is getting away from me, I tell you what. Had such an adventure yesterday. Was so excited, and thank you all for all the kind messages about Erica joining me that first half an hour. Man, it flew by. I'm not even sure what she was here, but she was here. She was a doll, and I was saying off air that she somewhat rescued me. I was not feeling well yesterday, and I called her just before the show, and I was like, help a sister out. Well, it turned out that was a lot of fun, and so I think we're gonna have to do it again. So we'll figure that out and get her on here. She is up to her eyeballs in that mayor debate that they're hosting, and I know a lot of you guys will be there, so be sure to check that out. Well, last couple of days have been somewhat quiet in the news, but I go to do show prep. I go to do show prep last night, and there was actually a lot going on. So the list of things we have to talk about today, we're going to talk about, of course, the new Epstein congressional subpoenas. The House committee has subpoenaed people in the Epstein case. And among those, you can find this news at 1819news.com. The House has subpoenaed former Attorney General Jeff Sessions in that probe. And so we'll get to the details of that a little later. There also is a new immigration detention center coming online, and I don't know, is this going to be something we see from now on? Are we going to see states outdo one another and what these nicknames are? This one is going to be called, it is the Speedway Slammer is the next center. It's actually located at, and it's between, let's see, it's in Miami County between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. It's their Indiana's version of Alabama Alcatraz. Again, they're calling it the Speedway Slammer. It's going I'm sure we're going to see more leftist outrage. You know, they're more outraged over the fact that Trump and this administration is trying to get people out in a timely, efficient manner than they are at the people who are here who have done violent crimes. But yesterday it said, coming soon to Indiana, we are announcing a new partnership to expand detention bed space by 1,000 beds. That was according to Christy Noem, the Speedway Slammer. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I want to get into immigration because it continues to be a topic that impacts us both locally and across the country. In terms of locally, Erica Thomas with the story up this morning showing text messages between the Gulf Shores officials, which revealed their frustration over the immigration raid. And the text messages that she was reporting on was over a frustration about the construction that was having to do with the high school, and it reveals that Gulf Shores Board of Education president was texting with the superintendent and the public affairs director and saying that he didn't really believe in the statement was accurate. That's total bull bleep. I could say that, and then I would give poor Dan a heart attack. And so we'll talk about that story a little later. A couple other big things going on. Did y'all hear? President Trump is bringing back the physical fitness test. If you are, and I wonder what age group it is. You guys hit me up on the text line if you remember the presidential fitness test that used to be done in schools and then was gotten rid of, and Trump is saying he brought it back. I want to talk about that a little bit. There was a recent local story actually yesterday about that, the presidential fitness test. I remember doing this. I remember the pull-ups and the push-ups, by the way. I can't do a pull-up to save my life. Never have. Leg strength, had in spades. Used to have a motorcycle. And at one point, in high school, was just fit. Just went to, I don't know why, for funsies, I went to a gym. I grew out of that. But in college, I had a motorcycle in Tallahassee, which is very hilly. Had great leg strength. My upper body arm strength never getting the presidential fitness thing. Just throwing that out there. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. Whatever the breaking news is, we'll get to that as it comes as well. Joey Clark will be on at 10:30 for his normal Jeff Poor spot. That's some of what we're going to get into today. I'm actually very excited about it. I am feeling better. I do have the text line open. It was not cooperating with me necessarily yesterday through all the show. So hit me up on that, 251-343-0106. And I say hit me up on that. Side note, I never said that phrase. I made a friend about a year ago who says that, and now I do. And if you're wondering the impact your friends can have on you, you find yourself saying things that are otherwise absolutely ridiculous. This morning, I do in fact have my little ones here as well, so we're going to try not to let you hear them, but I make no promises because they are here with me today, which is rare when I am doing radio. All right, we're going to take our first break and take it a little early here in just a minute, and we're going to get into some of these. We'll start with the House Committee subpoenas that includes Jeff Sessions. Back in just a second.
Here you come again. Touch what I'm about to make it work without you. You look into my eyes.
Well, good morning, everyone. April Marie here. Side note, I'm going to not speak to any specific candidate, but I will tell you I do love it when you can hear sweet kids' voices in their parents' commercials. Just throwing that out there. Not an endorsement of any one candidate, but it brings joy to my heart. Shuttle run. Oh, the shuttle run. I started mentioning earlier bringing back, the White House is talking about bringing back the physical fitness test to public schools after over a decade. But the new, the details of it haven't been released yet. But on July 31st, Trump signed an executive order that it's the President's Council on Sports, Fitness, and Nutrition and the reestablishment of the Presidential Fitness Test. The test was, and I didn't even realize it. It was revoked in February of 2018. There was an amendment in 2002. And so they're bringing it back, baby. Here's the thing. And if you look at what Trump has done in terms of what even Robert Kennedy has talked about, making America healthier again, there's no downside to this, okay? There's no downside to a generation that mostly, and there are exceptions to this. You may know exceptions. You may drive home in the afternoon after work and see kids riding their bikes and outside playing. But by and large, most of our kids do not go out and do the things we did as kids. I think about some of the crazy things we did as kids. I mean, me like literally, we had the thought of ringworms, by the way, still makes me have a little bit of a physical response. We used to play in the retainer. Don't even get me started on how ridiculous this was. But around the corner from my house, there were two things. One, we called the white wall. And it is exactly what it sounds like. But it was the foundation of a house. Everybody has to have memories of things as a kid that the kids these days have no idea what we're talking about. But basically, there was a curve, a sharp curve on a street. And at some point, there was, when the neighborhood was being built, there was like the model home slash like manager's building house on top of this. Well, they didn't, when the neighborhood was sold out, long since gone, somehow this got torn down, burned down, I'm not sure. And all that remained was this white wall where it used to be with the foundation of where the house was. We used to go play on that thing, and right around the corner from the white wall was this drainage ditch. And there was a street over it, we would go through the piping, I don't know what to call it. It's like a giant man-size pipe that was to make sure that the water flowed from both sides of the retain. We would go climb through this. And I remember our parents, you guys are going to get ringworm. You're going to get stuff. We didn't care. We were strong. We were brave. We could go through it with or without flashlights. We were whatever. Now I'm thinking we were darn right crazy. But we definitely were physically stronger. We were felt physically healthier in spite of our insanity playing in a drainage ditch, which, again, in hindsight at 44, not so sure about that. But we were out there riding bikes, and we were wrestling with each other. The guys especially wrestling with each other. You had to be able, somebody just said, you couldn't graduate without passing PE. And you're right. We have this now where the physical fitness and the sports, and my kids, we've done soccer a couple times. My daughter's getting into volleyball now. But I know plenty of kids who have never played a sport and just won't. And you think about the things that used to happen back when there was an emphasis put on being healthy. And I do remember, oh my gosh, I'm now the run back and forth. That one I could do sideways, just so we know. Like the old school sprint, could not do the rope, could not do pull-ups, do they still call them girl push-ups where you do it from your knees instead of doing it with your legs? But at any rate, Trump's bringing this back, and I actually love this idea. I love it. Okay, not everybody's physically able to do everything. I get it. But we've gone too soft. The overwhelming majority of kids, no matter if you are into sports or you are into, you know, gaming and coding, whether you're into, you know, baseball cards and whatever, every single child should at least be pushed to try to be physically fit. They should be pushed to have goals and then try to meet those goals. I don't think a little competitiveness would kill kids these days. And I don't know. And I do remember the guys trying. I mean, it's been a minute. You guys, I graduated high school in 1999. Sometimes my kids act like they, in their head, instead of playing Oregon Trail, that I lived the Oregon Trail, that I'm that old, but in their head, that's how old I am. But I really do believe that we were healthier then, and not just physically, mind you. To look around at kids today, it's not just that we were physically healthier back when we were challenging one another, but we were mentally healthier then, when the boys were competitive. And not the kind of, you know, everybody, oh, things have changed. And I know things have changed. I know bullying now isn't what bullying used to be back then. Now you've got devices and cameras and all that stuff. Although I guess you're not going to have them in PE class anymore. And by the way, Jeff and I discussed this on this show. I was wholly supportive, am supportive of getting the cameras and the cell phones out of the classrooms. But I think there's something too. Of your friend group, are you the fastest? Are you the strongest? Give kids a level of competitiveness that is healthy. Can you do sit-ups? Can you do these, you know, jumping jacks? And old-fashioned PE, old-fashioned recess, I think our kids would enjoy school more. Oh, I say I think. This is something that's been studied. Kids enjoy more school more. They learn more. They want to go back if they are being challenged, not just their minds, but their bodies as well. So there was a story on this yesterday on Reflector that was talking about, a holistic revamp. Okay, I'm going to go with, no, let's not do a whole, this. Let's not go look at, of course the leftists have to figure out a way to try to mess this up. One individual said, I hope it will be, so it's not just about how fast you are or how strong you are. No, I think I think it needs to be about how fast you are, how strong you are. I think it needs to be a combination of A, let's get your body moving, and B, let's get that competitive bone back in you. Let's get the success back in you. Michael says, kids have no idea what Oregon Trail is nowadays, and a floppy disk would blow their mind. Are you ready for this, Michael? I had my kids. Let me rephrase that. I found out that you could get Oregon Trail for Xbox. I kid you not. This is maybe 6 weeks ago, 6 or 8 weeks ago. I found out you could get Oregon Trail for Xbox, and I did. And it was one of the most ridiculous purchases I have made in a very long time. And I want you to know that my entire wagon basically died within the first stretch. For those who are not familiar with Oregon Trail, I weep for you, just so we're clear. But you try to get your family to survive. And just so, I do not recall fishing in the original Oregon Trail, but you have to bait your hook and you have to fish in the new Oregon Trail. I couldn't do it on the device. That was a whole situation. But yes, everybody in my wagon ultimately died before the first stop because I did not prepare correctly. But Oregon Trail is one of those games where it was the beginning of technology. I remember I had to have been in fourth or fifth grade. And you had all the multiple discs, and it was like, take this disc out and put that disc in. And then, the discs were literally, not figuratively, they were literally always dysentery. Always. That's what, am I saying all right? Dysentery? Yes, that's what we died of. I think three people got it. I had not bought enough medicine. And then you got to arrest in the new one. I don't recall. And it's, somebody else needs to buy this game. For the love of all that's holy, so one of you listening today, go out and buy, who played Oregon Trail as a kid, go out and buy the new Oregon Trail, and then we can talk about all the ways that it was different, because I just don't recall. But the new Oregon Trail focuses on strategy and money management and all the things, but you still get all this old, like somebody broke a bone, oh, you blew a wagon wheel, oh, you know, all the things. I couldn't believe that it exists out there, but it does. The whole wagon. Don't make fun of me. My whole family died. I killed them off. And here's what's funny is the kids were watching me play this, and I was letting them try to figure out. I've gone way off, by the way, off from my presidential fitness test thing. But the kids were watching me play this, and they were watching one another get sick and die and break bones. And they thought this was the most hysterical thing in the world. And I'm like, yeah, we used to play this in grade school. Yeah. Because nobody had that kind of computer at home back then, right? The consoles we had at home was, at one point I had the original Nintendo, right? With the Duck game, Duck Hunt. I think on a Game Boy I had Legend of Zelda and Tetris and whatever. But most people didn't have computers. Nobody that I knew had computers where you could play this at home. So we would fight and take turns at school over playing Oregon Trail. All right, I've talked myself right into this. If you remember those physical fitness tests and have a thought on whether or not they were a good idea or a bad idea, bringing them back a good idea or a bad idea, let me know, and we'll talk about it in the next segment. On the on the text line, we've got Bucky Beaver saying, how are you at dodgeball to get you moving back in the day? Oh, dodgeball, by the grace of God, everybody, I was the nice kid, surprisingly, right? But I was the nice kid in class, and so I didn't get the ball thrown at me that often. I would say I was a very mid-level dodgeball player. All right. Back in the morning, keep the text coming. Back in a minute, keep the text coming.
And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Somebody said, Motor Man, note to self. Don't go on Oregon Trail with April Marie. Not the 2025 version. I feel like I was better, but maybe my memory is playing tricks on me about how good I was at the Oregon Trail, because I don't feel like I died every time or that I got closer to Oregon, but maybe I didn't. And now I'm questioning who I am as an individual in life and how I got anywhere. Okay. As we go about this, I actually pulled up the old presidential physical fitness, and thank you for the dodgeball question, because now I am thinking dodgeball. It's amazing. So I'm from a relatively small town, right? I'm from an area, it's the Space Coast of Florida, and most of my friend group, we went from grade school to middle school to high school together. And so when I think about things back from childhood, I literally think of the same group of, group of people. We were riding our bikes to school together. We were playing in the retention pond together. We were doing all the things. So when I talk about Oregon Trail or dodgeball, I can't help but think, Sarah Bukowski would pelt the crud out of people. And some of the guys were more physically fit and active than the others. Their parents had put them in sports. I can think of who the athletes in our group were. Very entertaining to me. But I'm glad we're getting back to that. I think political correctness has stolen a lot from us, and it makes no sense. Okay, so I pulled up the old school presidential fitness test. Somebody did a story on this. It was the 1 mile run, and the guidelines used to recommend. That doesn't have what they used to recommend. But a 1 mile run or a power walk, sit ups, push ups, sit and reach. I remember that. I'm not sure what that did, but what, and then the shuttle run were parts of the presidential fitness test that we did as kids. And there's a breakdown of the age 6 to 17, what you were supposed to be able to do. Curl ups. Was there an actual point to curl ups with your arms? That was like the ab thing, wasn't it? So curl ups, shuttle run, sit and reach, or the V sit and reach. A 1 mile run or fast paced walk, which was always the death of me, because we did this every year. I don't know if y'all did this every year. Chris says I got the president patch in sixth grade. Woot woot. It really is. This is cracking me up. I wonder if you were to start a baseline. Age 6 to 17. If you were to start a baseline, how many kids these days would even know what these things are? How many kids have done curl-ups? How many kids have, I'm sure pull-ups and push-ups are normal, but how often are kids in public schools out there running laps? And it'll probably vary depending on where you are. Schools where they're trying to get kids, not to shoot one another. Probably not out running, although it probably would be good for them. I'm all for bringing this back. I think this is the one of the least controversial things Trump can do. And the Yahoo's out there saying, we need it to be not competitive, and we need it to be holistic, and we need to not concentrate on how fast or strong you are. I think you're, again, it's the people like that, which is why we can't recruit in the military. It's the people who don't understand there is actually value in strength. There is actually value in recognizing gender roles. There is value in recognizing that as a strong man or as a strong woman, you have a physical advantage in doing certain things for it. Okay, I spent way longer on that than I intended to. So Leah says, when I was 9 years old, the Eglin Air Force Base reservation was right across the street, and it was my playground with my BB gun. Those are different days. We had, and it's fun kind of watching. So I've got a brother. He's my younger brother. I called him he's my little monster. He's probably a foot taller than me, but it's fun because he's raising his family in Virginia, and they do a lot of outdoor stuff, and they do the paintballing. And I don't know that I see a lot of kids paintballing these days. BB guns and paintballs, is that a thing your kids are doing in South Alabama? Probably more so here than other parts of the country, with using rifles and pistol training and marksman training and that sort of thing. But I feel like we'd be better as a country if we were teaching our kids. And I've had this conversation before about my strong Second Amendment support and the idea that we are that kids are being taught that guns are scary or guns are to be avoided or guns are a problem. That instead, if we were to teach them, to appropriately use them and respect them for what they are, they can be dangerous, and they are not toys. But I love this idea. I love bringing back some of the basics because I think that we have gotten into this, you know, oh, and I did it myself. I was worse when my kids were even younger than they are now. But the old gentle kinding, the gentle parenting, oh, we're gonna do the social emotional learning in schools, which turned out to be absolute nonsense. I am all for schools where kids can't have no parenting at home teaching them how to regulate their emotions. But the school's job is not to be the parents, okay? And we've gotten into that. But we've sissified our kids. And I say we because it's a generation. I remember taking my kids to the playground, my daughter to the playground. The playground at the zoo has the squishy. How many of y'all have been to playgrounds where they have the squishy, like almost, I don't even know what to call it. It's like a bounce back ground. And parents would hover over their kids playing on this. And I'm going, your kid should fall. Kids should fall. They should know you're going to be there to support them, but they should also be able to get themselves back up. But there were parents who'd be like, your daughter's climbing. Don't you want to go like spot her? And I'm like, she's going to fall, what, a foot onto something squishy? No, she's good. This is what we should be doing in life. We should be preparing our kids to be away from us. Yes, even when they're 5 and 6 years old and they're 3 feet from us on a playground. How do you get kids who need safe spaces and they can't hear or see opposing ideas? It's because we baby them. We baby them and we think they have to be protected from the world and from reality. Cut it out! Speaking of which, I just muted you guys all to tell my kids to cut it out because the boys are fighting over something. I got a note delivered to me. Before I move back on to the next topic, that was the presidential physical fitness. I'm thrilled to bring it back. Here's the note delivered that looks like a hostage note to me while I was doing that last segment. The baby, keep on hitting and he want the Xbox, but we made promises that he get the iPad and I get the Xbox. So just so we're clear, this is where my life is headed right now for this show. Okay, I mentioned earlier the Epstein files. That's what I was going to start with, are the Epstein subpoenas. There were Epstein, a House committee looking at information on the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is a story by Eric. This is not Erica Thomas. This is Caleb on 1819. Has subpoenaed U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions yesterday. The letter to the subpoena says, and a subpoena letter says, during your tenure as U.S. Attorney General from 2017 to 2018, the U.S. Department of Justice was litigating against victims of Mr. Jeffrey Epstein, who alleged that the department had violated their rights under Crime Victims' Rights Act in negotiating a non-prosecution agreement with Mr. Epstein. In addition, while you were Attorney General, the department may have been engaged in the investigation of Mr. Epstein that led to his final arrest in 2019. Please see the attached subpoena. They are requesting that Sessions come for a deposition August 28th. So that's just a couple of weeks from now. The committee also issued subpoenas to Bill and Hillary Clinton, James Comey, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder. Oh, Eric Holder. Man, you want to talk about someone who does not get the disgust and disdain they deserve? That's Eric Holder. Eric Holder was one of the worst appointees in the history of appointments. And he really does get off without as much as, like, people don't remember what he did in his roles as much as they should. If you are not familiar with Fast and Furious, I could talk for 3 hours about that. But Eric Holder is one of the most partisan, ridiculous, not a smart man. I think he went on, by the way, to do some kind of voter drive, if I recall correctly. He was censured as well. But Eric Holder on the list. Sorry, went off on a little tangent there. Merrick Garland, Mueller, Barr, Alberto Gonzalez, for testimony related to the horrific crimes perpetrated by Jeffrey Epstein. This is Comer issuing subpoenas. Also issued one for the Department of Justice over records. This is all, I'm watching this unfold, and I have talked about this. I have talked about this in the past. I don't know that there, I think people are going to be incredible. This is going to continue, and I think when we get to the end of the road, I don't know that whether it's Maxwell naming names or whether it's where this investigation on Congress goes, but I think a whole lot of people are going to be disappointed, waiting, because they've been waiting on the edge of their seat for information and details that don't exist. And I've read the indictments against Epstein. I have read the original DOJ letter from Bondi when they said their things were under a seal and things did not show, you know, they couldn't show the videos and all the other things. I really think people are going, this is going to end up, it's going to end up a who shot JFK, a where is Elvis now, Big Tupac and Biggie, name a unsolved mystery that goes on indefinitely. I think this is going to end up there with that, where even as information comes out, people aren't going to believe it. All right, I'm going to take a quick break here. Doc just wrote in, coffee came out my nose, cut it out, reminded me of fighting with my siblings and my mom yelling. I tell you what. Let's see if I can get them to straighten up while I give them a quick break. You guys hold tight. I'll give you an update on the other side.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean.
Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all.
All right. So for any listeners that just had a little bit of momentary PTSD based on my telling my kids to cut it out, I apologize. I thought I had my finger on the button. I thought I muted myself as I told them to cut it out loudly. Apparently I did not. This is the week before school goes back. Actually, tomorrow is my last day of my nearly 2 weeks residency. You guys can spend Friday complaining about how awful a job I did. Please don't do that, actually. To Jeff Poor, who's going to return so that I can go take these little knuckleheads to meet their teachers. It is that time of year again. It's actually been a great summer. Most summers we do a lot more traveling. This summer, because I had a little bit of health trouble, we didn't do a lot of traveling, and we stayed at home and we did a good old fashioned, as I mentioned earlier. A normal run-of-the-mill summer over here. And so I love how I didn't mute when I wanted to, but then muted when I didn't want to. So got no explanation for that. Okay, so I was talking about the Epstein files. You can read about those on 1819 News. It is the letter from Comer said, while the department undertakes efforts to uncover and publicly disclose additional information related to Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell's cases, it is imperative that Congress conduct oversight of the federal government's enforcement of sex trafficking laws, generally and specifically its handling of the investigation and prosecution of Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell. So I'm not sure how much more information we're going to get out of this, but we are, there's more a coming, and we will see how that, rounds things out, with the information. And that, hey, if there's information that can be provided that's going to help, specifically if there's information that's going to be provided that can make sure future investigations are done in a better way, because ultimately that's where we are, right? We want to make sure that each of the victims who Epstein and anybody else associated with it, that the victims have justice. That's literally a thing here, okay? This isn't, I think people are like, oh, was this person involved? Was that person involved? Ultimately, it's not about the satisfaction of knowing if someone was involved or not involved. It is the satisfaction of seeing justice brought to those who may have been involved. So what can we do at this point? I'm looking at this and I'm saying one of the things that they can do that can come of this, can come of a congressional hearing from oversight, can come of Bondi's office, this DOJ's reflecting on what other ones have done, is better practices, right? You can't undo the damage of the investigations that may not have done, or bad deals that may have been given, or any of that stuff. But what you can do is you can make sure it doesn't happen again. Just like the government agencies, the same as any business or any nonprofit or any individual or whatever, you take stock in what has happened and you learn and you grow and you make sure you don't make the same mistakes again. And so where the Epstein case is involved, you know, we see every day, I mean, and it's the saddest and scariest thing if you're watching, every day cases are coming out of people who are human trafficking or want to be involved in human trafficking or whatever it is. Earlier this week, Covenant Rescue did another sting operation in Trustville, Alabama. And I actually ended up showing my preteen daughter, she thinks I'm really mean not to let her have social media or a cell phone or any of the things to limit her communication. And definitely there will be no apps or whatever, no Snapchat, no none of that nonsense. And I said, you know, I want to show you something, and it's a little scary. And she said, okay. And I brought her to me, and I pulled up the story of this week's arrest that involved, they were all people from Central Alabama, and they look like regular people, okay? They look like they could be anyone. They could be your guitar teacher. They could be your teacher. They could be your whatever. And so, and I was saying to her, bad guys don't look like bad guys in the movie. These guys were thought they were going to meet. They thought they were talking to a 15-year-old girl. If by all of this investigation into the Epstein stuff, if the result of that is that law enforcement and prosecutors and we are doing better at making sure victims of these crimes, that they face justice and appropriate justice, right? Because that's at the start of the Epstein stuff. It's really fair to say that what was going on, and you look at the letter to Sessions, where it says during your tenure from 2017 to 2018, one of the it was alleged the department had violated the rights under the Crime Victims Rights Act, making sure that never happens again to another victim. That is worth looking into. When I see, oh, demand the list, demand the videos, demand the things, that, to me, the important part is finding out how we make sure this is never repeated again. And for everybody who says, oh, there's so much going on, whether it be in Hollywood or just in circles of the rich, or whether it go, you know, be in affluent families or politicians or whatever, What we need now is answers of how Epstein got these sweetheart deals and how things were processed under him, and make sure that if and when, and hopefully if and when another person is identified to have been doing, whether it was with Epstein or on their own, to be doing these horrific things and in large, large numbers, having large numbers of victims, making sure that it is handled in a way where you're not years later trying to undo it. All right, as we head into this break, I appreciate it. Someone said, I hope that cut it out makes it in the show, into the show lead in. Chris from Daphne says, sounds like you're a good mom. I appreciate that. All right, back in just a minute. You're listening to Jeff Poor with April Marie.
Under the barbershop pole, they set me up in the chair.
From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between, an insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is April Marie filling in for Jeff Poor. You guys on the text line are cracking me up, okay? I actually told on myself. I told Sean. I was like, apparently I didn't time my mute button correctly. I'm gonna find a way to clip that. By the way, it's gonna happen. All right, back to the phone lines. We've talked to Epstein. We've talked presidential physical fitness. We've talked Oregon Trail. All of the things. Bucky says, in all honesty, they're gonna do just like Biden's doctor. They're going to go up there and plead the fifth, and nothing's ever going to come about. It's just, that's just the way it is, and washed. You know, it would be a real shame. It would be a shame if nothing came out of it because people were too interested in saving their own skins and reputations. And no, again, the power is in knowing you can do it better next time, right? You fix this by saying you fix the broken process by saying mistakes were made. I read a book a couple years ago. It was like, mistakes were made, but not by me. People have a tendency to not want to admit that mistakes were made. But in this case, there's no doubt, right? There's no possibly mistakes were made. No, we absolutely know that in hindsight, you look at the way this was, and just about everybody can see that this is a problem. I am looking now. I'm trying to confirm it for you guys. I believe there was a Facebook. Here it is. 1 hour ago, just as the show started, Jerry Carl posting on social media, major announcement coming soon. That's not my Jerry Carl voice. That's my announcer voice. Just go with it. Have a big announcement coming soon for the great folks of Alabama. Stay tuned and be the first to hear. the comment sections are kind of silly of that. Anybody want to guess what the big announcement's going to be? Coming right after Barrymore makes his big announcement? If only there was an idea of what it could be he was announcing. So it's been on the horizon. It's been out there that he will... that he could possibly run again, but major announcement coming soon is what was announced just a little while ago. So we'll see we'll see what that is. And of course, Jeff Poor will have a lot more on that when he returns on Friday. So all right, going back into some of the things we were talking about. So I talked about Jeff Sessions getting a subpoena related to his time at DOJ. I mentioned earlier in the show. All right, Speedway Slammer, Indianapolis getting its own an expanded detention center and naming it the Speedway Slammer. The alligator Alcatraz, which try saying that three times fast, the alligator Alcatraz, that made quite a stir. And it was one of those things where, you know, Democrats had a field day with it and saying how inhumane it was and how awful it was. And then there was the reminder, like, we are doing things as a nation to make sure people who are here illegally, that they realize that things are not going to be easy for them. They are no longer getting a free pass. They are no longer going to just get a wink and a nod and a subpoena to come back in a couple of years. We're not going to ignore them. There is going to be real consequences. And one of the things about, and you know, Kristi Noem is lover or haters, and I know people who both. She has really said, say I'm mean, but I'm getting out the people we need to get out. That a little while earlier ago, I said, when talking about Epstein, I mentioned Covenant Rescue and the Central Alabama sting that was done this past week. In that, I think of the arrests, six or seven of them, one of them was here illegally. One of them was now on an ICE hold. These are the people who the left is defending. These are the people who the left is saying they're just here to have a better life. No, this guy was trying to meet up for a sexual encounter with what he thought was a 15-year-old. That's not acceptable. That's not okay. In what world, in what circumstances should anybody be defending these individuals? Should anybody be opposing the use or the building of more facilities to integrate people until they can be deported? Hey, if I had my way, there would just be like a on loop shuttle, and people would just be gone. But they don't get to do that. They have to have detention beds. According to DHS, this is on the new Speedway Slammer. So apparently, all of these facilities are going to get some kind of crazy nickname. It is between Indianapolis and Fort Wayne. The name is a nod to Indiana's racing culture, such as the annual Indianapolis 500. The Indiana governor said, "We are proud to work with President Trump and Secretary Noem as they remove the worst of the worst with this innovative partnership. Indiana is taking a comprehensive and collaborative approach to combating illegal immigration and will continue to lead the way among states." Hey, you know the good news about this? The good news about this is the states are getting serious. The states are recognizing that they are better off building facilities to help house these people than have them in their community, than have them out there preying on 15-year-old girls, than have them out there having DUIs and being part of gang activity, in the case of cartel and gang and human trafficking and gun running and all of the things. According to DHS, it provided the funding for the program, which will be an ICE and local governments collaboration. Ultimately, people are going to realize, and I hope they realize, that if they are here and they have done really super bad things, they need to leave because they don't want to end up in one of these facilities. And if and when they are deported, they rethink coming back, because that's a problem we've had for ages. People will get deported and they come back. I feel like nearly every time you hear an illegal alien doing something really atrocious, when they get to the part where they're like, and this person entered the country illegally, and then they deported them, or were deported and they came back, or they had a deportation order and they ignored it. The more these facilities come online, and they're not club-fed facilities, they're not intended to be places people want to go. They're the kind of places hopefully people want to avoid. I'm looking at this and I am really hoping that the deterrent part of justice comes out here and people start really thinking, don't want to end up in this situation. This administration is hell-bent on fulfilling their promises, their campaign promises. They're going to get rid of all of us, and it's not worth the chance of staying here. And they really leave. there was a point in time in which it was like jokeable, it was laughable, people self-deporting. Now I continue to read stories about it. People who are know they're here illegally and they don't want to take the chance of getting caught. And so they are making their own arrangements because they want to do it on their own time. And I am absolutely all for that. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I did a story last night. It was actually late last night, but it made my stomach cringe. There is a actor and comedian who had a show and he got canceled in Alabama. I'll tell you more about that in a second.
Your school ways are apparent here. We got rebel flags flying and Budweiser beer. Plenty of snow in the middle of June.
April Marie here. I am not sure what happened there, but I guess you guys were getting some weird feedback. We'll keep an eye on that. You can always text me on the text line if something has gone awry. You may be hearing the lawn guy. I think I mentioned to you guys that my daughter has taken on the lawn duties for our house, which is really precious because I mowed the lawn as a kid, which is really funny because it's like those old stories. How many of y'all heard from your parents or grandparents? I walked, you know, a mile each way in the snow. There were no rain and wind days in my day. I mowed the lawn and it was our house was on a hill and there wasn't our lawnmower has it pushes itself. I don't know what the technical term for that is. Right. But you turn it on, you push the button and you just kind of walk with it. It's like you're walking a dog. You're just walking the lawnmower. Mine didn't do that. You had to actually push. You were huffing it at the end of that thing. But to that end, my daughter's been doing ours for about a month now. And they're, you know, she's a little cautious of getting, you know, close to the rocks or getting close to the street or the whatever. So it was looking a little rough. So I've decided that every 4 to 6 weeks, I'm going to have the lawn guy come back and just clean it up, start fresh, do it again. So he's out there now. So you guys may hear him a little bit. All right. I was talking about, let's see, we talked presidential fitness. We talked Epstein, Jerry Carl announcing he's got a big announcement. Whatever could that be? If only we had an idea or a clue what Jerry Carl might be up to. So we got that going on. I mentioned, let's see, the new immigration detention centers. And speaking of which, I didn't know what to make of this story. I was going through the news yesterday, found a Breitbart story, and it's actually comically bad. ICE deports 50 Irish migrants. And the crux of the story is the federal government has arrested about 50 Irish migrants from deportation. And, but the lead of the story is what got me. The lead of the story was, amid left wing complaints that it is only that the Trump administration is only deporting non-white immigrants. Approximately 35 men and 21 women were taken into ICE custody in Irish American strongholds of Boston, New York, and New Jersey. Most of them in custody were young people who had overstayed their tourist visas illegally residing in the country. I'm gonna go on a limb here and say we do not need to appease leftists. Let's get the worst of the worst of the worst out, okay? If there are Irish gang members here, I don't know. There are Irish criminals here, sure, you know. There are Swedish criminals here. There are whatever. Okay, let's get them all out. But we are not, I don't think we need to go back and check boxes. That makes us as bad as they are. They're right now, this administration has said, we are going after criminals. Now, there are times in which they have gotten other individuals. And I have, that's a story for a different day. I have like some of these people, I'm like, well, we could probably do it a little better if we're going to deport people who have been here for, I'm not saying keep them here, but we could probably deport them a little better than when they go in for their check-in, just randomly like strangest bingo thing I've ever seen, randomly deciding to keep some, randomly not deciding to keep some, with no notice and that, all that sort of thing. But going back to who is prioritized, we need to prioritize the people who are here and doing things to, within our country. And no, they're not always, they're not, it's not just people from South America. No. And we've seen that. You look at the Hamas supporting, terror sympathizing, pro-Palestine supporters who are here on visas that they lied on their applications, or they overstayed their visas, or they're here on a student visa and they're not going to class. They're over here protesting on campus. Let's prioritize those people. And it has nothing to do with their skin color, but it has everything to do with what they're doing to our nation and the damage they are doing. So saw this. Yes, it's interesting they are working to get everybody out. But I don't want to buy into a leftist trap that, oh, we're going to start doing things because amid left-wing complaints. No, let the leftists whine. They did nothing to get anyone out. They don't have to like who we're trying to get out or the order in which we're trying to get people out. What they have to do is they have to sit down and shut up and realize that they caused this problem, that the Biden administration caused this problem, that the reason we are having to have mass deportations is because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden basically hung a welcome sign up at the border and then went so far as to basically, and not just at the southern border, but they were like, hello world. Do you hate us? Do you hate who we are? Do you hate the God we believe in? Do you hate our freedoms and our ideals, the history of our country? Come on over. You can cross the border illegally, or we'll give you a temporary visa that you can overstay. Or we'll give you a visa to say you're a student, and you instead can turn around and go to our campuses and teach our students that we are bad and evil people. That was like what the Biden anti-tourism shtick was. And we saw it, and we've seen, and we've lived, and we continue to live, by the way, the absolute chaos that results on this, from this. I know it's an unpopular opinion among some, but I think you take, what is the equivalent of an ice paddy wagon, right? Like the old school buses. You take an old school ice paddy wagon out to every pro-Palestine event. And if someone is there holding a Hamas flag, if someone is there chanting globalize the Intifada, if someone is there, death to Americans, you just throw them in and you send them home. It's not complicated. If they're Americans, you arrest them for terroristic threats. Being terrorist sympathizers, you have a right, a First Amendment right to say things. Absolutely. You have a First Amendment right to assemble. Absolutely. But the minute you start making threats and encouraging others into violence, you've crossed the line. I don't remember any Tea Party people running around going, we want to repeal Obamacare and blow things up. No. Going, hey, we got to get rid of Common Core and do something awful to teachers in school. No. But that's what the left is doing. That's what the left has been doing. And you fight fire with fire. I saw the article and I was like, no, let's not play their game. I don't care if they think we're targeting one or two groups of people. We're targeting the people who hate us. We're targeting the people who go out and do things like attack Lake and Riley. We go out and we arrest the people who are going after our kids. The people who are bringing fentanyl in. I could go on and on and on, because we all know that's what the Trump administration promised. That's what he promised on the campaign trail. People crossed over voting because they were tired of this in their neighborhoods, because they were worried about their schools not having the resources to teach their kids. It's not hate-filled to go after people who hate us. Let's not play the left's game. Let's not buy into it. Let's not give any credence to the crazy things they say and do, because I just don't think we need to. We don't need to play that game. The article from Breitbart that I was mentioning, by the way, I said, the headline, ICE deports 50 Irish migrants. Everyone who is here illegally should be subject to deportation. We should be prioritizing the bad guys. ACLU, in their article, they say ACLU is saying that what they're doing is sometimes targeted, sometimes arbitrary, usually blatantly racist, and always cruel. And always cruel. Because heaven forbid we do anything but treat with kid gloves people who came here with the intention of committing crimes. It's always cruel. We are always cruel because we want our communities to be safer. Side note, how many of these people have been arrested? And I used to go back and look. I haven't gone back and looked in a while. But how many people that are here now are fleeing their own countries because they've already been convicted or they're wanted for violent crimes there? We've got people here in our country that have been detained here that are claiming, I can't go back to my country because they'll kill me because I already did some wackadoo thing there. And our judges, our leftist judges are like, it'd be so sad if something happened to them. That's just mean. Why are these guys our problem now? Actually, I answer my own question. You know why these people are a problem now? These people are a problem now because of Joe Biden, because of Kamala Harris, because of the sympathizers out there who are like, no borders, everyone in. By the way, don't you love that when I do voices, the voices have no rhyme or reason? I don't know. It's a thing. All right. Man, I talked myself right into this next break. And then at this break, I'm going to give Joey Clark a call. And we're going to see. I have, there was a list done of the most hated people in the country. And I cannot wait. It's I'll tell you, the actual poll is most disliked man in America. So I can't wait to get Joey's take on that. You guys hold tight. I'll see if I can get him on the line. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again. Having a little PTSD over my getting on to the boys. Cut it out. Bringing on now Joey Clark. Hiya, Joey.
Hello, Ava Marie. How are you?
I am doing well. As I mentioned, I am my sitter called in sick with a darn good excuse. She's expecting, so she was a little under the weather today. And growing a person gets you an excuse every time. So I've got my kids here. Which we've done programs before, you and I, where I've had the kids. it's bringing back memories. I'm not sure they're the best of memories, but the kids are in fact here. There's also a lawn guy outside, so I got that going for me too. All right, I sent you a link to a AL.com story. And that is, it's a Gallup poll ranking more than a dozen public figures, and it rates their popularity and then their favorable, unfavorable. If I had said that to you without sending you the link, who would you have thought would be the most unfavorable person?
Probably Bibi Netanyahu, honestly, yeah. These days.
And I think they said he was number two. In it says, while Musk received, actually it says Netanyahu had the lowest favorability score. And he had both. Musk had 61% unfavorable to Netanyahu's 52%. Zelensky, it's interesting because when you start talking about it, it's like, okay, Zelensky had seen favorable by 52%. That surprised me.
Yeah, and I think Zelensky kind of dropped off the map in terms of especially the American consciousness. And it does make sense that there are stalwart supporters of Israel, especially in our great state, that despite the loss of support, they're going to stick with Netanyahu. I'm not surprised that Elon Musk is at the top of the list. And I am somebody who has purposely been over the top defending Elon Musk since he joined the Doge program, because I knew this was coming. It's an old Ayn Rand line from The Fountainhead: the first man who discovered fire was probably burned at the stake by the brothers he taught to light it. And there's a lot of that going on. Like, anybody that sticks their neck out, anybody that shoots for the stars, literally in his case, and who is, I mean, definitely on the spectrum and has a weird sense of humor compared to most people. Yeah, he can easily get on the wrong side of people. Yet I'd imagine that 40-something percent, he inspires a lot of confidence why he gets the best people in his work.
Yeah. It's interesting. The Pope is on the list, kind of in the middle. Hegseth is one of those, where he was divisive in, from go. The left just attacked him for who they thought he was, the Fox personality, the military guy. Like, they hated him, not necessarily on principle, but they were judging the book by the cover.
Oh, absolutely. And I think they saw him also as, the smart set saw him as a threat, which I think he is to, say, establish interest in the Pentagon. But yeah, young, good looking guy who can still go work out with the troops in the morning and actually inspire folks to sign up while saying he's going to fire a bunch of generals. And, well, we know he was, you know, he's this guy, so let's dig up all the dirty stuff about him, like drunkenness or whatever. Again, it's like these polarizing figures, I think, all have a fairly good quality to them.
Yeah, the poll's got it's Hegseth, Marco Rubio, and Marco Rubio. I have to tell you, I know Rubio from my Florida days, and I like him better in the role he is now. I was not anticipating that either.
Well, I've done personally a complete 180 on Rubio. I used to just find him as sort of just another Republican suit. He got swept in with the Tea Party. Young guy, good-looking guy, well-spoken, but he would always seem to be just carrying the party line. And I think that was the effect of him playing his role as senator. In Secretary of State, he actually seems like the Marco people know from behind the scenes on the Foreign Relations Committee. And now, he's not just Secretary of State. He's the archivist. He's the National Security Advisor. I think Rubio's doing great, and going forward, he might be actually a good person for president. I never thought I would say that, given Rubio's past, especially being a war hawk, but he's seen more of a realist and really knows what he's talking about. So.
I'd like to apologize for the lawn man in the background here. No, I am absolutely with you. He has, and I heard Donald Trump, somebody asked Donald Trump if J.D. Vance was the heir apparent for his looking to the future, and Trump specifically brought up Rubio. And I thought that was very telling that Trump sees that as well. Rubio has been a very vocal defender of Trump and Trump policies.
Yeah, and I think Rubio's got a bright future. Jamie Vance, I mean, that guy goes from being a vehement never-Trumper saying nasty things to not only becoming a senator out of nowhere, then convincing Trump that he's the guy. And Vance is probably the best person at explaining things that I've ever seen, like, at least in, say, the modern era. His one flaw is that he is too smart.
Yeah.
So he could maybe come across as condescending. If he doesn't calibrate it right, I think he does most of the time, but if he doesn't calibrate it right, he can come across as condescending. But I think Vance, Rubio, those two front runners, a deep bench just to kick off the bench for those two.
Well, and you look at the Democrat side, and I'm not seeing a lot of names you can bat around over there of people stepping up to the plate the way that those two have and the way that others have in this administration.
Yeah, they all morph, it seems like, any name that rises up into we see it with Stephen Colbert and Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow. It's some Mark Cuban, for instance, his name. He's starting to just look like that same type of person. I don't know what's in the water on the Democrat side of the aisle, but maybe they're having fun.
Oh my gosh, You know, I want them to just start bringing back up people like Pete Buttigieg. And I was really disappointed by Kamala Harris saying she's, you know, she's not necessarily interested, because I'm like, please run again. Hillary, let's run. Let's go ahead and do some retreads just for the fun of it. Could we please have Bernie, Hillary, and Kamala be the top front runners for the Democratic ticket, just so everybody's like, and then and now we know we continue to write them off.
Yeah, it's, I mean, please do that, because it would be so dumb. I'm sure there's a young Democrat who's talented, knows the new media space. It can probably be not crazy and pull something off. But right now, the current folks, even the young folks like a Jasmine Crockett or an AOC, great followings, especially AOC, but I don't think it translates into the same way that even a Clinton translated or Obama translated.
Oh,
not happening.
Jasmine Crockett. Let's let it be her, because she actually makes Kamala Harris look measured. I mean, because the way that she talks and watching her committee hearings and all of the things, she is classic, classic, absolutely just Democrat liberal, say anything, always the victim, just hot mess.
And it's so fake, because there's earlier clips of her very well put together and carrying herself fine. She's more of a woman, but she seems, it's the wrong lesson people take from Trump. Oh, I should be rude and insulting, and that'll, you know, work out for me. I don't think that's, Trump is rude and insulting at times, but he has a larger, say, charisma around him. But, you know, I will admit, Jasmine Crockett made me laugh out loud when she said Marjorie Taylor Greene had a bad Butch body.
Oh,
I was like, that's pretty good.
Pretty sure that was the spat that put her on the map, like that committee right. hearing of the girl fight. And I remember thinking, we have somehow jumped the shark so completely with this being what represents us in Congress. And AOC the same way. AOC is, she sells herself as a girl from the Bronx, and she's got a good education, came from a good neighborhood, comes from a good family. It's like if you took W, because W seemed all shucksy as his mm-hmm. time went along. He went from being more, you know, his ability to communicate from when he was governor to when he was president went on a decline. And we're not talking about a Biden decline, more of a personable decline. These two are the same way. You have to imagine they're smarter than they seem. So why are they dumbing themselves down this way?
Again, like Mitt Romney looks like a Mad Men consulting group got together. How can we make this guy look like Reagan? It just doesn't work. And Buttigieg does it. He wants to be the, I was going to say the gay Obama, but maybe that's already happened. go back to where we started, even over Trump, my favorite person we've named so far is still Elon Musk.
Really?
I love the innovators. Yes, I love the innovators. I like his humor. You know me, I'm kind of in that same headspace. I'm a bit socially awkward at groups. And just to see somebody trying to do big things, what's his line, that life doesn't have to be about solving one miserable problem after the other. Sometimes we can do, literally shoot for the stars.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of inspiring stuff when you look at all the innovation. I was asking the other day, why don't we have more Elon Musk? Like, that's, I think, a healthy society. Instead, you get him, and he already pissed off the Democrats for going with Trump, and he clearly pissed off a lot of, especially the boomers backing Trump. So, yeah, but that makes me like him even more. He's kind of an independent soul.
Nice. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to keep Joey Clark on the line a little bit longer. I want to talk about some of these statewide races as we look at how fundraising is going. Yellowhammer News up with a graphic comparing head-to-head how fundraising is going for all these statewide races. Back in a second.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride. On a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. They get home and want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke?
Good morning, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Jeff Poor. Joey Clark, Jeff's regular on the line. Thank you for joining, Joey.
Oh, yeah. Happy to be.
All right. For the I got a text message about sending my lawn man to the next house. You know, here's the thing. So my daughter has learned to, I don't know if you heard this earlier, but my 12-year-old, which is hard to imagine because you and I, you like last saw her when she was little. I mean, it's been years. My 12-year-old is now mowing the lawn, but not well. I said that out loud. Wow. She's going to get me after this. Okay. She's doing it great for someone who just learned. But I decided after, multiple mows from her that I actually needed the lawn guy to come back. And I forgot that he used this little blower too. So that's what we got in the last segment. And so for the person writing in, no, my daughter has not figured out any accessories to besides the lawnmower. We got the lawnmower down. We do not have for blowing, edging, weeding, any of that stuff going on here. So I wasn't about to stop him because it's not going to be another 6 weeks before he comes back. All right. We were talking about that Gallup poll in the last segment, but I want to transition to, it seems almost silly that we are already talking about 2026 elections, but some of these candidates are bringing in the big bucks. Looking at Yellowhammer News, and they did an image of all of the candidates by office with cash on hand. Tommy Tuberville with an astounding $4.7 million. Any thoughts on that one?
Oh, I think it's fantastic because money talks in this town here in Montgomery. And if he's heading into the governor's office with that chunk of change, I love it.
Yeah, there's been talk of basically nobody establishment will take him on, but will somebody like a Durant or a Blanchard or somebody come out of nowhere who doesn't need to raise the money, will they come to take him on? I think this puts him, as he continues to raise and show money, the likelihood of somebody else coming out of the woodwork seems pretty slim.
Yeah, I think Linda Blanchard, she just got something at the UN. And
she did. She's
like my...
Yeah.
Yeah. And Durant's great too, but I don't think they need to waste their time.
Yeah. And it was more like somebody like that, the ability who's somebody not on the radar of the establishment, the lieutenant governor race. And we've got, oh, you got me. Hello. Did I lose him? All right.
Hello.
I'm here, but he can't hear me. I don't know what we're going to do about that. Hold on. Let's see if we can, fix this so that Joey Clark can hear me. Joey, can you hear me now? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to the lieutenant governor's race. We've got Wes Allen with 389,000. Pate pretty close behind him at 347,000. And the candidate who shall not be named as anything but a pretend doctor with 143. How are you handicapping that race?
That one's hard to tell because actually, if I had to pick, if you put a gun in my head, I'd say Rick Pate. I like Wes Allen. Don't get me wrong. It is anybody's race except for that fake, stupid doctor.
You're going to get a letter. Yeah. Have you gotten a letter yet? For those who don't know, there's cease and desist flying out there by people who are referring to her by her name, but not doctor.
Well, they could sue me for continuing to play the scene from Spies Like Us, doctor, 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 and I'm happy to take that. Go ahead and sue me for that. No, I think that's a tough race to call because if I had to pick in terms of campaigning, how personable, Rick Pate's pretty strong.
And I've only interviewed Rick Pate once to date, and it was actually with you. He came to the Montgomery studios back when the studios were upstairs. It's been a minute. And so I look forward to getting to know him a little better. What I do know is that I have not been, terribly impressed with, what's coming out of the Secretary of State's office. That's for sure.
Well, in terms of the numbers, the fundraising numbers, the race that surprises me the most is, oh, Caroline Dobson's essentially doubled what Andrew Sorrell has, and Sorrell got out of the gate really strong. Seems it cooled down this past month, and that's shocking that she's now got double on hand than he does.
Yeah, it's interesting. And some of our mutual friends, one of her Dobson's biggest supporters is the Judge Tal Magist, who was on 93.1 a lot. He is all in for Dobson. We actually have some other mutual friends who are as well. I like Andrew Sorrell, but I don't know between his connections to the guy in Georgia and the Ponzi scheme there. I don't know if Andrew Sorrell, with his connections to the Georgia Ponzi scheme guy, if that's going to spill over into the election in terms of judgment. What do you think?
It could. It's just a matter he needs to move on and get past that, and I mean get the money back. It didn't just affect him; it affected a lot of people, I believe.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I met Dobson once. It was at the 1819 gala. You saw her more because you were in Montgomery during her congressional race in Montgomery. What are your thoughts on her?
Yeah, I think I interviewed her maybe in the double digits. I talked to her a lot, so in person and over the phone. I like Caroline a lot. I told Dick Brubaker, you better watch out, and everybody else running, and she did, in fact, win that primary. There's something, and I was looking at Kay Ivey. I was looking at, of course, Katie Britt. There's something, especially in the Katie Britt case, and it applies to Caroline. If you're a young, successful woman, carries herself well, and you're willing to put in the work and travel the state, in this case, it seems to work out well. Women, professional women, seem to do really well in campaigns unless they're a fake doctor.
Unless they're a fake doctor. Thanks for that. That disclaimer is always important.
I think Caroline, she's going to be tough to beat if she has that amount of money. Though Sorrell, I like Andrew a lot. He guest hosts the show with me on occasion. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
It will be interesting. Let's see, not Ag Commissioner, I couldn't pick any of the three of them out of a lineup. I don't know what that says about me. Obviously, for those, so Jack will... Jack Williams leading the pack on the ag commissioner with over 500,000 on hand. I mean, just trouncing his next closest person, Christina McGinnis. I don't know any of those three candidates. You ever met any of these three?
No. And I admit I'm a city boy. I'm not all tied up into a lot of that stuff. And I just want somebody who actually has the credentials and knows what they're talking about. And I think in Alabama, we have pretty good, for whatever you want to say about special interest, our special interests tend to vet people in that field pretty damn well.
There you go. All right. Well, since we are having technical difficulties and you keep losing me, I'm going to say bid you adieu. Thank you so much, Joey. Where can our listeners find you online?
At the Joey Clark on X or Joey Clark Live on YouTube.
All right. I appreciate you. And Jeff Poore will be back to talk to you next week.
Thank you,
all right. That was Joey Clark on the line. Text line is open, 251-343-0106, if you want to get in on the conversation about any of the things we talked about. You know, here's the thing about big personalities doing big things. Elon Musk on that Gallup poll I mentioned early, and we may talk about that in the next hour. Elon Musk does not surprise me the most unliked. You do tough things, you get lots of criticism. And that's where Elon Musk is. All right, we'll be back for our final hour in just a minute. You guys hold tight.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like old Bandit Run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some hell my mind in brakes. Let it all hang out cause we got a run to make.
From Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poore Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Well, good morning. We have made it to our final hour of the program. I promise you all of the lawn care is done. Couldn't figure out how to mute me without muting Joey on that one. It's one of those rookie errors. I'm sure Jeff Poore would have known away. I just couldn't figure it out. All right. We were talking about going over the financial disclosure reports for the statewide candidates. This is as of July for those races. A lot of big money being raised there, I'll just say, in some of these races. The cash on hand, as I mentioned, for the ag commissioner candidates, Jack Williams with over $500,000. Next up is Christina McGinnis with $186,000, and then Corey Hill with $100,000. The one Joey and I didn't get to was the state auditor's race. Derek Chin with $27,000. Josh Pendergrass did not file, which likely means that he did not raise over The threshold that would require him to file. So in the state of Alabama, it's spend or raise over $1,000, and I think you have to. Don't quote me on that. I would call and ask the Secretary of State's office, but they are hostile at best to my questions. And I don't know if that's a media thing altogether. I asked him about the municipal elections, and you would have thought that I punched somebody in the stomach. It was very entertaining, actually. I am obviously not endorsing in any race, but I'll tell you, if the way you run your current office and your staff's availability and your availability is any indication, some people should not, in fact, be promoted. That's all I'm saying. All right. We know what you're listening to because you are listening to the Jeff Poor Program on 106.5. But what are you watching on your television? Tell me that on the text line, 251-343-0106. A new poll by Signal Group, to ask Alabama primary voters, where are they getting their information and what are they watching? New poll shows that besides Fox News, Turning Point USA, including the Charlie Kirk Show, is the most watched conservative platform in Alabama, barely edging out the Tucker Carlson Show. I don't know why I found this surprising. I didn't realize so many people are watching the Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk Show. Here's the thing is we've talked about this. I'm a cord cutter. What I do is I watch, this is how old school I am. I watch the same TV shows that are all decades old, not decades, but all pretty old. My favorite being West Wing, one of the best written shows of all time. I will argue with you about it all day. I understand that it was set in a Democrat administration, but still literally one of the best shows ever written. I watch these same things on repeat. Hard for me to get you, and I will sometimes try to do new shows, but you just never, they seem to go woke. They all have, even the ones you think are going to be conservative will have a woke aspect to them, and it's like, not so much. But apparently the rest of you guys who are watching TV, Fox News, number one. By the way, you can find this story on 1819news.com under the headline poll, Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA, second most watched conservative platform in Alabama behind Fox News. So it's Fox News, then the Charlie Kirk Show, then the Tucker Carlson Show, then Newsmax, then the Daily Wire, which surprises me because I would have thought the Daily Wire would ranked higher. I really like the Daily Wire, especially since they got rid of Candace Owens. The Blaze, the Megyn Kelly Show. Man, she talks a lot. She makes a lot of good points and has been ruffling feathers for a while. The Candace Owens Show, 11%. You guys, wackadoo. Go ahead and blow me up on the text line if you'd like to. Candace Owens is a wackadoo. Can't convince me otherwise. We got following Candace Owens, the One America News Network, then Breitbart, then War Room with Steve Bannon, America Real Voice. It goes down louder with Crowder. How anybody can watch him, I don't know, given what happened and transpired in his personal life. Daily Caller, Right Side Broadcasting, Free Press, and then Unsure. So these are the alternate news sources. Charlie Kirk saying it was pretty cool that he is number two after Fox News. I think that's pretty cool. Going back to those text lines, Billy says, Nation is really good show to watch. News Nation is really good show to watch. They kind of split it right down the middle as far as I'm concerned. They might lean a little more right, but they kind of get both sides, I think, to that. Okay, interesting. Chris agreeing that West Wing is excellent. I'm not going to say his last name on air, but he likes President Bartlett, and I am a big fan. Interestingly, and I'll go through this where I will watch the same show. And here's the thing is I like the early seasons. I don't mind the election, the last couple of seasons when it's the new election. And you get to know Santos and you get to know the other characters. But those original episodes, and you could not have asked for more for characters that you get to know better. And so Charlie's one of my favorites. Danny Concannon's one of my favorites. I'm really, for those of you who don't watch West Wing, you're going to have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. And so, of course, CJ Craig, who is the comms person and later the chief of staff, one of my absolute favorite characters written of all time. But yes, interesting to know what you guys are watching. I would not have anticipated that the Charlie Kirk numbers would be so incredibly high, but alas, they are. Tucker Carlson, of course, if you hadn't heard it from Jeff Poore before, will be in Alabama later this year. He's actually keynoting the 18-19 second annual Albert Patterson Gala, which I'm pretty excited about because unlike Jeff Poore, who knows Tucker Carlson, I have never met the man. And so looking forward to that, but there are still somewhat limited seating available, but there are some tickets available for that. All right. Looking back at some of our, what we talked about today, talked about the President Trump bringing back the presidential physical fitness. And you look around us and you think no part of this can be wrong or bad. Okay. Let's encourage kids to go out and be able to run a mile. Let's encourage them to do push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and V-stretches and all the things. I remember when it was coming around, we would go out there, especially as a school, because they wanted more, you know, it looked good for the school for more kids to pass this test. We would go out there and we would kind of ready ourselves, right? We would run. By the way, me running, the most comical thing you've ever seen. I'm not kidding. I cannot run. It's not, God gave me many, many a talents. Running is not one of them. This is why I concealed carry, because my ability to run away, not so great, laughable even, was laughable as a kid, is laughable now. But we should absolutely be teaching our kids to prioritize their physical fitness. We should be teaching them to get out there and encouraging them to get out there and run. We should go back to PE being real and being competitive. Somebody mentioned dodgeball earlier. Luckily, I am not a child who was traumatized by dodgeball, but I know there were some out there. I mentioned earlier, and I didn't get into it just now, but I'll mention it briefly, how disappointed I was. So last night I saw a comedian had to cancel his show in Alabama because of threats. Award-winning actor, comedian Michael Rapaport, I think I said that right, announced that his performance last night after he was already in Birmingham, Alabama, was canceled due to threats. He has been an outspoken activist telling people, reminding everybody about his support for Israel and speaking up for the hostages that are still being held in Gaza, 670 days, mind you. So he's been an outspoken advocate, been recognized by all sorts of Jewish groups around the country. He wrote, "My show tonight at the Stardome in Alabama was canceled. I did not cancel. I would never cancel, especially since I'm already here in Birmingham ready to perform. It's embarrassing. It's sad, but I'm not ashamed. I stand by what I say and who I stand with." He said, "Finally, I got to meet some incredible people from the Shabbat, I probably said that wrong, of Alabama, and had the blessings of wrapping telephon." And so I probably butchered that as well. His Facebook shows, he was so excited to come to Alabama, you guys. He was posting, he was advertising, he took a picture with a University of Alabama sign. The man was ready to come. How bad is it that you can't come to Alabama because pro-Hamas clowns are threatening the facility you're supposed to perform at? What I would rather he have done, what I would rather the club have done, and I'm judging the club on this one, I would rather they have put out notice and said the pro-Palestine, the pro-Hamas, let's be clear about who they are, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist people, are threatening our club how about everybody come out here and stand with this man and the people who bought tickets to see him? And they defend him in his right to support Israel rather than canceling the show. I feel like we're going to get more to this. There's more to this story and we're going to get it soon. All right, you guys, we're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to some more of the hot news and topics of the day. Good morning, everyone. April Marie here. Looking at breaking news, it looks like Fort Stewart is on lockdown due to an active shooter. Four people have been taken to the hospital and one suspect identified by law enforcement. Nearby schools are locked down. The second brigade area is also on lockdown, and all gates on Fort Stewart are currently closed. I appreciate Leanna for shooting that over to, for sending that over to me. And I will keep an eye out on that news as it comes in. Latest at 10:57 Central, updated just minutes ago in Hinesville, Georgia. So I will keep an eye out on that. Going back to the text line, let's see, Chris, what do we got? We got to get going on over here. We've got Chris saying, Martin Sheen's First Lady is excellent. Chris, what about Gulf Shores did you want to hear? I don't know what's going on in Gulf Shores this morning, but shoot me a message with that. Pat saying his family watches Big Bang Theory. So somehow my kids got into to Young Sheldon. Somebody introduced them to that and pretty kid friendly. Have not seen Lucifer over and over. Have not seen Lucifer. Sometime new movies. The problem is, like I said before, these entertainment industry is so woke. They can no longer just let you be entertained. Now they have to preach to you. Or more accurately, preach at you in TV shows and movies, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And then we watch Miss Rachel and the Wiggles. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, thank you, Chris. He was mentioning the story that that Erica Thomas wrote about. Aha, I said that. Thank you for saying that. Not a lot. So I mentioned this earlier, text messages between Gulf Shores officials reveal the frustration over the immigration raid, Baldwin County schools. So this is an Erica Thomas story. Erica, of course, was on with me yesterday. It was very, very sweet. A Fox 10 News investigation in Gulf Shores recently revealed text messages between city and school officials and Rayburn Construction following the immigration raid at the construction site of the new Gulf Shores High School. A public records request was made, but reporters have not been given access to those records. The text messages that were revealed show people were pretty frustrated. It was the Gulf Shores Board of Education President Kevin Corcoran texting the superintendent, Matt Atkins, and the public affairs director, Blake Phillips. You can actually see this again if you go to 1819news.com and you can, if you click on any Erica Thomas story, it'll give you a list of all the ones, and this is one of her most recent, or just look for it on the news section. That's total BS, except he didn't say BS. The text read, "We should ask for a correction. The raid was not at Gulf Shores High School. It was at the construction site, not even BOE property." The press headline of the press release said that the raid was at a construction site. In that raid, 36 suspected illegal immigrants were arrested. Fox News reporter sent a similar public records request to the Baldwin County Public Schools asking for the communications following the Loxley Elementary School raid, where 11 people were taken into custody. The school system refused to give that request. Can I tell y'all what a problem we have with people actually turning over public records requests? this should not be this so hard. It's not that complicated, really and truly. If you are doing official stuff for the city, then you need to turn it over. Our lawyers have reached out on our behalf and will keep pushing, Williams, the Fox 10 reporter, said. It is absolutely silly. Now, if you, the Fox News has the screenshots of the conversations, and look, if you, here's what you should be concerned about. You should be concerned about the actual construction, the fact that all these people were there, the safety of your community, all of the things, and not the appearance of it from a PR standpoint. One of the text messages that was revealed has Matt Aiken talking about the Fox News reporter, saying that the Fox News reporter asked if he would meet her on the site, and he said the site is under the control of the general contractor and that the comments would need to come from them. They clearly did not want to be wrapped up in this story. Make better contracting decisions. They did end up saying Homeland Security did specify it was at the project site. Trying to get DHS to amend a press release as they're trying to make arrests related to keeping people safe. That seems silly. Just my commentary here. Absolutely silly. The next day, Homeland Security investigators questioned the building standards at the school following the athletic facility collapsing in January. One of the things that they said is, and this is a quote from the Fox 10 story, "We know at this very construction project there was this significant issue with the collapse a couple months ago, and that raises the very safety questions that we all probably are asking ourselves right now of what the standard that is being applied by these individuals." That's a quote from the special agent in charge of Alabama and Georgia, Stephen Schrank. He said, many of whom do not, talking about the people that were arrested, the contractors that were here illegally, he said, many of whom do not speak our language, do not have the necessary skills and certifications that we would expect, especially in such an important building where our children are going to grow up and to be educated. Imagine being so concerned about the optics that you don't eat, that you're texting about the optics of the press release, whereas, you know, the federal agents are concerned about the children who are going to go to school there. Less than 24 hours after that story aired, Gulf Shores Mayor Robert Kraft and Matt Rayburn, CEO and president of the contractors, texted back and forth about the issues raised by the feds. They have a copy of that one as well. It says, one of those texts reads, "My serious thought is that we construction testing through every facet," I'm just reading what they wrote here, "of every facet of construction to meet all the mandated code requirements. And that is then followed by code compliance by the DCM inspection for the state of Alabama. All I'm reading here are excuses, what appear to be anyway, it says any calls for additional testing clearly demonstrate a lack of understanding and the requirements to build at this or any level." I don't know that that's actually addressing the concerns of the what they're saying. People didn't speak English. They didn't have the necessary skills and requirements. That's not complicated. That's not partisan. Seems like a fair question to ask. Be interested to see how this plays out. All right, back.